الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In continuing with a little bit of what we spoke about last week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran makes it very clear and very beautiful when he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never lead a people astray after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided them, until he makes clear to them as to what they should avoid. So once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear for us what we must go towards, what we must avoid, what we must abstain from, and when we ignore that message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in essence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Now that I've given you guidance, I've helped you in learning what is good, as a result of your continual refusal in accepting the message of Haqq, now do whatever you wish to do. And how does this start? This is the more important question. How does a person go on a wrongful pathway after having been guided towards that which is good? This is a very important question, because for some reason we always think, once I'm guided, I'm always going to be guided. Once I'm right, I'm always going to be right. It's human nature, it's part of human personality. That is how you see billionaires becoming poor. How do billionaires become poor? I mean, you know what's a billionaire? And where's a poor person? And one of the reasons why, if you look at the research out there, is because they become very confident in their success. And every businessman will tell you, businesswoman will tell you, that in order for us to be successful, you got to keep up with the latest in your industry. I repeat, you got to keep up with the latest in your industry. Take for example taxi drivers, yellow cab. Yellow cab was the in thing once upon a time. There couldn't be anything better than a yellow cab. It was every person's fantasy. When I stop at an airport, I got to go with a yellow cab. But they didn't keep up with the industry standards. So you get other technologies that came in place and gave them a rough time. Same thing with restaurants. There were certain restaurants people will dream of going to. Now the restaurant can even come to your house. You want something, you call a certain place and they will bring things over. So how come people are failing? It's not because they are not smart. They are not keeping up with the latest. And now we are moving even more towards, eventually it'll be driverless at some point. So as humans, we have to wonder and ask, what is taking place and how do I continue adopting new strategies and new methods to get ahead? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this very same thing here, that I'm teaching you, you are learning, you have access to the Quran. Are you keeping up with it? This ayah is saying. And thereafter Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِلَّ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ, that when you don't keep up with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to keep up with, eventually you will go downhill. And the Quran says, I will open up the doors of downhill. That when you're going downhill, you'll think, but you know what? It's great. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِي فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. I will open the doors of your crash. That as you are crashing, you'll say, but it looks beautiful. You know when you're going on a parachute and you're coming down? It looks beautiful. It is wonderful. What happens when that parachute, something goes wrong? It's not so funny after all. All that beauty you're seeing, now all of a sudden it becomes misery. especially when you're about to crash into a mountain or something. Same thing here, Allah is saying. Now the question remains, how does this take place? And Imam Ahmad makes mention of a very beautiful hadith. And before I mention this hadith, you know, when you look at some people, may Allah keep everybody healthy and good, and you ask a brother or a sister, the doctor is saying you are 50 pounds overweight. Now what's the answer they give you? How come you are 50 pounds overweight? Ah, the food is very good. You know, it's married life. You know, I got sick once. You see what's happening here? They're giving you excuses. They're giving you excuses. I'm overweight, not because I'm irresponsible. They'll never say that. It's always, I was sick, the wife's food, I eat too much chocolate chip cookies when they bring it to me, and I can't say no because I don't want to offend them. It's the false story you are giving yourself. You don't just get 50 pounds overweight one morning. So how do you stop that? Because we were talking about this to a few other people the other day. The way you stop it is, if you had, let's say, an average weight of 135, if that's your average, the day you get to 137, you start monitoring it. Now something is going wrong. And immediately, you start putting it right. If you don't put it right, it only gets worse. This is human nature. That when something comes our way, rather than diffusing it or letting it go, we go deeper into it, until we have totally collapsed. That's what Imam Ahmad is saying. He says, beware of the small sins. What he says, beware of the small sins. Thereafter he continues, they accumulate in the record of the individual. They accumulate. 1 pound becomes 2 pounds becomes 20. 20 pounds becomes 50. Before you know it, that's it. What are you going to do? How are you going to lose 50 pounds of overweight? How are you going to change your life of 20 and 30 years of sinning? How are you going to change your life if everything around you was just to be argued and debated and confronted and showing you are in control? This morning we did a very beautiful hadith regarding control. And basically what we learned from that given hadith we did this morning is that if we don't control ourselves, important message, as humans we want to control others. I have 500 employees. I do this and they do that because of what I have done. The hadith makes it very clear. Forget about controlling the whole world. First take care of yourself and understand your relationship with your Allah. That's what the hadith is saying. Number one. Never take sins to be small. Number two, they accumulate in the reward of the individual until they destroy that person. Imam Muhammad says, until they destroy that person. This is a very important hadith for us to focus on. That is why it says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, layablawannakum Allahu bishay'in min as-sayd ila akhir al-ayah. Now this is regarding the time of ihram. You are in hajj. There are certain things you can do in hajj, and there are certain things you cannot do in hajj. This ayah is saying, imagine a man or a woman going for hajj. You have to save your money. Well, first of all, hopefully you make your money halal. Let's get that right first, because we know of many hadith, and we know of many narrations, and many scholars of the past. They would go one time to hajj, and there'll be a voice that will say, the hajj is thrown back on you. They went for the second time, the hajj is thrown back on you. They went for the third time, the hajj is thrown back on you. Why? Some, because they didn't gain forgiveness. Some, because of inappropriate earnings. Some, because of the manner in which they treated their families. Some, because of transactions that were forbidden. that they not only went towards, they went towards it, they insisted upon it, they justified it, and they didn't say, I'm wrong. They didn't say, I'm wrong. So Allah is saying that I will test even people in Hajj. I will test them with what? I will test them with animals. That means certain things you cannot do, like hunting, and the temptation will even come for you in that given sacred space. My brothers, the ayah is teaching us a lesson. The lesson is, if you are going to be tested in front of the Kaaba, if you're going to be tested in the Ihram, you are going to be tested in the most beautiful clothing that Allah loves. One of the most beautiful clothing is the Ihram. It is simple, it is equal. No labels and all those fancy things that we show. You know, I shop in this store and you shop in that store. It's equalized. And if you and I are going to be tested in that situation, do you think we are not going to be tested on an everyday level? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran regarding a dialogue that will take place. Now, why are we talking about this? Number one, we spoke about sins. No sin should be taken lightly. Easier said than done. Number two, the test never ends. The test even takes place around the facility of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the test is not put right, and we don't put ourselves right on an everyday level, then unfortunately, what happens thereafter is that we fall in the category of hypocrisy, where we have two faces. One, the face of religiosity, but the other, the behavior of the devil. That is why the ayah says very beautifully, on the day of Qiyamah, the hypocrites will call out to the believers. The hypocrites, they'll call out to the believers. Now, who's a hypocrite? Hypocrite is the one that says, for example, simple, you must do such and such good, but I forget doing good myself. You know, children, by the way, and I've said this many times before, if you want to see how great a father or mother you are, look at the behavior of your child. That's it. Look at the behavior of your children. Children learn through modeling. That means they have to model. A child doesn't just walk because he's walking. A child doesn't sleep because he's sleeping. A child doesn't just eat because he's eating. I mean, your child doesn't just go and start eating grass out there. Why? Because you never ate grass yourself. The foods that you like, or the things that you are accustomed to, by you repeating that behavior, the child is seeing it, and the child is learning from it, and thereafter fulfilling it thereafter. Therefore, me and you, because we are old, we can trick people. That's why people in the past, whenever they wanted to marry in a certain family, and by the way, Kitabun Nikah also talks about this, amazing book. Kitabun Nikah, Rasulullah SAW also gave advice. The Rasulullah SAW also gave this. So many people think they're following their culture. You're not only following your culture, Islam is 1400 years ago, says this very beautifully. That before you go to marry a person, look at the way that person's family is and how they treat their children and also how their children are. Beautiful, beautiful. Don't just go and blindly get married. Before you get married to a person, examine that person's family, not just their family, but how the little ones in that family are treated. And once you see the little ones are treated with respect, then realize that that family has something to offer you thereafter. Very important. So now, the hypocrites. The hypocrites will call to the believers on the day of judgment, and this is what they will say. They will say, were we not with you? They tell the believers, were we not with you? We were together. We came to pray together. We came to worship together. We did so many things together. We were like one group. So what is the problem today? How come you are going to heaven and there is a chance that I may be punished thereafter? Now look at the response. The believers will respond by saying, yes, we don't deny. Yes, you were with us. Undoubtedly, you were with us in person, in physical aspect. But you led yourself into temptation. And this is what leads to sins. We are led to sin because of temptation. It starts off with this. Because we are led by temptation and desire. That is why Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam got kicked out of heaven. How did they get kicked out of heaven? The temptation, the need, the desire for continual luxury. Allah says, don't eat that fruit. Shaitan said, if you eat that fruit, you'd live in happiness forever. Temptation is driving you and I into the belief that if we just falsely sign that paperwork, if we just get that money in your account, if we just sell just that one extra six pack, if we just sell that one extra beef jerky, if we just sell that extra pack of cigarette, and once you get that house, make your istighfar, it'll come right. You forgot the other aspect. When you get the house, you got to furnish the house. And when you furnish the house is slowly deteriorating. You got to paint the house. And after you paint the house, the plumbing goes. And when the plumbing comes right, the daughter getting married. Now we have to do the house again because we have to make the house look respectable. We have to show we have izzat. MashaAllah, that's where izzat comes from. You see, shaitan doesn't stop. Temptation, it leads and it drives you and it drives you. So therefore, the believers will say, but you led yourselves into temptation and you looked forward towards your own destruction. Now you have to pay the price for what is coming your way. So my brothers and sisters, in a nutshell, to make sense of our topic today, we have to ask ourselves a very important question. And the first question is, what am I in denial about? Or better yet, the question is, what am I supposed to do that I am not doing? That's the first question. And for everyone, it is different. For some individuals, I must be more honest. For some individuals, I have to not lie. For other individuals, I must get away from eating that which is polluting my body and my health. For other individuals, it's something simple as getting out of bed by a certain time. For other individuals, it may be limiting that unwanted conversation at night. You know, texting, chatting, talking, looking for friends, creating this fake identity and fake spirituality. Everyone has their own battle and game they are part of. And you have to understand, and we have to understand, the first honesty is to yourself. What is my fault? What is my wrong? Number one. Number two, if Allah has blessed you with children, look at them and don't look at them and say, this kid is this and that or whatever negative. Ask yourself an important question. When my child is lying, or my child is cheating, or my child is walking away from me, or my child doesn't want to listen to me, what did I contribute to this child? Because my brothers and sisters, if you're not going to be realistic about your child, next is going to be the grandkids. And then the great-grandchildren. And it just continues. It's better we stop it right now. We have to take stock of ourselves. That's why the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says very beautifully, take stock of yourself before someone else takes stock of you. Take accountability of yourself before accountability is taken of you. So my brothers, this is our homework inshallah. Till the next time that we do meet, asking ourselves, what sin am I part of that is hindering my productivity? How can I start letting go of that wrong to become the best human that Allah has intended of me? As Allah says in the Quran, لَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. I gave you the best of shape, Allah is saying. Created you in the best of shape. Gave you the best of features. Gave you the best of thinking capabilities. Gave you the ability to rule over nations, rule over people, rule over society. I gave you the ability to use your intellect to do marvels and miracles. Yet, how are we using that energy to do justice to what Allah has created? And in order to do that, to bring an end to this conversation that we are having here today, it only can continue with that one question we have to ask ourselves. What do I need to improve upon? Number one, and those that are close to you, the question has to be a very important question. Why are they the way they are? What is my contribution to their life and their existence? For some of you, the answer will be great. For most of you, the answer will be great. But for the few of us like myself, we have a lot of work to do. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in attaining that outcome. Because my brothers and sisters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran clearly says very beautifully, if we don't hold ourselves accountable, then rest assured, on the day of Qiyamah, we will be called upon to give accountability. And it is better we give the accountability now than do it later. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.